AM 245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The government shutdown continuing for at least another day. The Senate failing to pass a stopgap measure today. Republicans not willing to negotiate yet with Democrats, they say, on calls to restore Medicaid benefits and extend premium subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. Here's ABC's Jay O'Brien.
We have heard Republicans soften in recent days, saying that they do believe that issue is one that should be taken up. And even some Republicans have gone further than that. Marjorie Taylor Greene has broken with the president and Speaker Johnson, saying that she believes Republicans should take up this issue now, and she is deeply concerned about the expiration of these Obamacare tax credits. While she says she's no fan of the law itself, she believes it would negatively impact her constituents, even her children.
Former FBI Director James Comey entered a plea of not guilty today at a hearing he's charged with lying to Congress during testimony in 2020. Comey's attorneys say they'll push to dismiss the case. On Wall Street, stocks are up this hour. This is ABC News.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Democratic state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to make it easier for families struggling with infertility to afford medical care. The Building Families Act, introduced on Tuesday, would require insurance companies to provide coverage for infertility treatments and fertility preservation services. Those medical services could cost families thousands of dollars currently, making things like IVF treatment financially out of reach for many residents. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss expressed support for IVF, but said he had not seen the bill yet. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has asked a Waukesha County judge to pause a court order requiring the Wisconsin Elections Commission to verify the citizenship of registered voters prior to the February election. The DOJ submitted the request for a stay on Monday, pending an appeal of the Friday court order. Circuit Court Judge Michael Maxwell scheduled a hearing on the stay request for October 31st. Attorney General Josh Call says the court order would require a massive overhaul of the state's voter registration system. Barron County residents are being invited to the second annual Patriot Palooza in Rice Lake next week to support area veterans. The event will take place on Saturday, October 18th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Moose Lodge in Rice Lake. Point of Renewal Integrated Health and Lake Roots Company will host the community fundraiser, which will feature a raffle, a silent auction, and a bake sale. All of the proceeds raised at the event will go towards supporting area veterans, and any veterans that attend the event will also get to eat for free. Northwest Wisconsin organizations are inviting area residents to a number of events honoring Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Officials from Embrace are promoting a number of events with various local partners, including libraries, small businesses, and grocery stores, in an effort to highlight the available resources for people struggling with domestic violence. The organization is also inviting area residents to participate in their sixth annual Survived and Incarcerated in Wisconsin letter writing event, which will be held virtually on October 30th. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers battle the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 3 of the best of 5 series between the Brewers and Cubs. Quinn Priester, who turned 25 last month, making his first start in the postseason against the team he grew up watching, the Cubs. Priester, from the north suburbs of Chicago, was in the stands during the 2016 World Series at Wrigley Field. I asked him, what's it like throwing that first pitch in a game?
Some games, like, you throw that first pitch and you're like, yep, we're locked in. And then some games you throw the first pitch and it's a little arm side, or you pull it or whatever, and you take a deep breath and just get right back after it.
NBA, the Bucks are back in Milwaukee. They host the Detroit Pistons in a preseason game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The team looking aggressive so far in practice.
No, it's part of, you know, guys that fight for their lives. And then the guys who aren't are fighting for their minutes, which is their lives. You know, so it's a good thing.
At Stock Rivers, with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine and cool temperatures for your Wednesday afternoon. Southerly winds and highs in the upper 50s. Tonight we'll see clear skies across the area. It will be frosty once again. Light winds and lows in the low to mid 30s. It's 53 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by nutritionist and founder of Wayless MD, Sherry Stoka. Then fantasy football expert Peter Van Doren joins me in studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Yeah, across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zummers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Wednesday, October 8th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Hump Day.
That's right. Even on perhaps clinch afternoon for the Milwaukee Brewers, the Camel has his gold and blue jersey on in the wings here. It's fantastic. Welcome in, everybody, to a midweek edition of the show. Got my October baseball t-shirt on. I've worn it every day of the playoffs. Yes, I wash it in between. But I didn't want to break that tradition until, you know, they don't win a game. But hopefully they can clinch tonight. And you can hear this afternoon, actually, our second hour, at least the first half hour from 3 until 3:30, will essentially be an extra pregame show for the Brewers. You can hear it on several of our stations this afternoon. Some of our stations will break away from this program for the Brewers pregame show right around 3:30. That'll be on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward, Wisconsin. Our show will continue on the stream, as they say, but over the air on those stations. The Brewers pregame first pitch just after 4 o'clock in the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. Let's hope it's friendly for the crew this afternoon. Very, very excited. We'll talk Brewers baseball. I have some highlights on Quinn Priester, also of manager Pat Murphy a little bit later on. Also, in hour number two, we're going to talk to a member of the Hmong Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce as they have festivities going on this weekend up the beautiful Chippewa Valley area. And speaking of the Chippewa Valley's favorite native son, the one, the only, the host of mornings of Patrick Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 9 from not Lake Wasota, but no, a secure, undisclosed location. Pat Kreitlow, how are you?
I'm doing fine. An official yeehaw from down here in Dallas.
Nice.
Where I'm traveling, visiting daughters and grandkids and things like that. And after a tour of the Fort Worth Stockyards yesterday, there were a lot of shops there. I was so tempted to go into one of the Dallas Cowboys pro shops and just yell, you know, where's the Packer gear at? But knowing what I know about how many people carry guns in Texas, I thought the better of it and decided I'd rather be here today. So here I am.
Yeah, thank you. Even on his when he's out of town, he still makes time for us. We appreciate that. And from our just outside of our nation's capital, a River Falls boy originally, now living in the greater D.C. area, and senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, Mr. Trigvi Olson. Trigvi, you're going to be out back here in Wisconsin by the end of the week.
Coming at early tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning,
baby.
That's fantastic. Yeah. You bring the fam up for a little official college visit, right?
A college visit. Yep, that's true.
UW Eau Claire. That's it. My fingers are crossed. You got a blue gold in the family, I'm hoping.
Yeah, she's not going to look at Eau Claire, but.
Okay.
It was PSAT today. She was taking the PSAT, the juniors, I guess, across the country. Makes me sad, Todd.
Why?
How is that possible? She's taking the PSAT.
Well, she's taking it, you know, not the way that we all did with an abacus, you know, and having to hammer and chisel our answers onto a slab. So
that is true.
Mm-hmm.
That
is true. I graduated.
I remember after I took the PSAT, I went home, watched Pat on WEAU. It was great.
I graduated high school in 1988, and I was the last class that did not have to take either the ACT or the SAT to get into college, and I did not take it.
And look where that got you.
Well, look, you know, where that got you, study buddy. Harder, boys and girls. That's all I can tell you.
Although, us mid-afternoon.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Gen Z way in here. I never had to take the PSAT. I don't think I had to take the SAT. I did anyway because I figured why not? Tests are something I am good at, for better or for worse.
Oh, nice.
I did take the ACT, though.
Oh, well,
but, very good. I mean, I don't know which ones you have to take now, but I didn't have to take the SAT.
I don't know. But, Pat, your kids are out of the house. Now you've gone through this empty nester. Can you give any advice to our friend Trigby as you watch your kids get older?
Yeah, just enjoy every day. It goes so fast. We're down here visiting our older daughter. Both our daughters are in their mid-30s now, and the older daughter is facing, one out of the nest already. And after taking PSATs and everything else, has opted to join the Air Force, and we're very proud of him for that.
That's great.
The other won't be that far behind, and it's weird to have your own daughter talking about how fast it's going before she thinks about being an empty nester herself. When to us, I mean, there's times you turn around, you expect to see the 6-year-old back there, but no, she's a mom of a 19-year-old herself, and so just enjoy this time, Trigby, because it seems to plod along day by day, but boy, in hindsight, it'll feel like it went in the blink of an eye.
And I don't have any kids of my own, but my oldest godson was back from Indianapolis. He is a graduate of UW-Madison, as is my younger godson as well. And when they come home, it's fantastic. You feel like, oh, they still remember you. It makes So that's cool. No, that's great. Trigby, safe travels. We're looking forward to. Are you going to come on? You have pop on. Do we get you here in person on Friday?
Yeah, you do.
That's great.
I think so. Yes, I should be there.
I think so. Maybe.
It depends.
What am I committed to?
Oh, my. Right. You got a problem. I got a plane to catch. It depends on how long the tour at Wisconsin takes. Right. I think it starts at 10.
All right.
So we should be done by then.
Well, if you have time,
since we're right by campus.
Stop by.
No. The plan is to come by.
All right. And don't forget the University of Wisconsin homecoming week is this week, and the parade in the late afternoon. Take her to that. It's fun to watch the band and the floats go through. So that's a lot of fun as well.
Well, I think Uncle Todd can take her to that.
Well, maybe you're not a parade kind of guy.
And provide lectures in what not to do as you watch some of the revelers overdo it.
Look forward to hanging out with Trigby this weekend. Gentlemen, let's get to a little news of the day. Breaking from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning, Microsoft Corp has pulled its plans for a Caledonia data center after opposition from area residents and elected officials. In a story by Ricardo Torres on the Journal Sentinel today, quote, based on the community feedback we heard, we have chosen not to move forward with the site, unquote, according to Microsoft's statement given to the Journal Sentinel. They say they remain committed to investing in Southeast Wisconsin, look forward to working with the Village of Caledonia and Racine County leaders to identify another property. Microsoft is still planning a second data center in Mount Pleasant, where there's been little opposition. Also, a story we'll get into a little bit later here in the show if we have time as well. A big meeting in Port Washington last night over an $8 billion AI data center. Charlie Behrens of Keep Her Moving fame had the Cripes cast here on Civic Media. Of course, he was at that meeting. And, Pat, Charlie Behrens doesn't wade into politics too much, but he's really taken his cards out there and spoken out against these data centers and what it would mean to Wisconsinites in terms of our water, in terms of pollutants, in terms of energy. And I give him credit for that.
I do as well. And I'm going to admit that for as many things in the news that I try to stay very much on top of and very current and have, you know, a thought out take on any given thing, I will be the first to tell you I'm not there yet on data centers. And here's why. It's not like we're going to have less computing in the future where we go, you know, we don't need as much computing. We're going to need more computing. So the question is not whether, but how. And so I saw a little bit about the coverage of the Microsoft Center, the way that they were looking to offset the energy and the water usage through reclamation, through reclaiming wetlands, through water recycling. And I guess I still want to know, maybe the right word is if, or how we make these data centers, you know, more or less environmentally potentially hazardous, I guess is the right way to say it. Now, having said that, I'm not saying that these data centers need a blank check. I, for one, think that cryptocurrency is absolute garbage and is using up so much more electricity and other resources and is a complete and utter waste. But in terms of needing data for, you know, our increasingly knowledge-based economy, I'm not going to be the one who, as a knee-jerk reaction, says all data centers are bad. I guess I just want to know more first before I take that kind of a position on them.
Zalra, keep me honest. I got old man mind syndrome. We had a guest here from Clean, Wisconsin. I forget her name.
Amy Berrio.
Thank you very much.
Amy Berrio. Yep. We've had her on too. She puts forth a great case about it. I absolutely don't quibble with it.
But she makes the point that they're not necessarily completely anti. We never want to see them. But to your point, Pat, you got to think through this and make sure they're done the right way. Trigvi, is this an issue out in your neck of the woods, out in the greater Arlington, Virginia area? Or do you have thoughts on these data centers and what it potentially could do to our natural resources? It doesn't matter whether you're a duck hunter or a kayaker, or you just like a good walleye without PFAS in it. I think that these questions need to be asked before you just go ahead with it.
I kind of disagree with you guys on this.
Yes, it is
an issue. You know, they've built a bunch of them out here, quite honestly.
Really?
Usually just outside. Obviously, there's usually local people who are opposing it. There's one I was just reading about in Fauquier County where they're it's probably 40 miles outside of D.C. Mm-hmm. They have a really robust group of people who moved out there who are opposing it because they don't want the jobs and whatever. You know, they can only be built in really specific places. I hear what you guys are saying, and I do think there has to be more understanding of what the environmental impact is of the data centers. I also think, though, we have to recognize that we're in a competition with China and a lot of other places, but particularly China, and they are not waiting around to build data centers. They're building them. And, you know, there needs to be real thought into where they're building them. They have to have, you know, substantial power sources nearby to make it work.
This is a fascinating discussion because I didn't hear. I think I'm the furthest left on this of the three of us. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, I mean, it strikes me as a little bit. Remember when they were going to build Walmart distribution centers and people were really against them and people were worried about the impact of Amazon distribution centers versus jobs. But in this particular case, you know, we are in AI is going to, and it's kind of cliche, but doing a lot of work around AI, it is going to transform lots of things. And we are in a competition with China.
I don't disagree with that, but it reminds
me we can't be waiting around.
I was in the Capitol when Scott Walker tried to redo the mining laws in the state and Tom Tiffany, and it was disaster. And the Foxconn in southeast Wisconsin, there was jobs promised. Charlie Behrens made the point last night at the Port Washington meeting that, you know, a lot of these data centers are robotic. So is there really going to be these great jobs for Wisconsin? It's just hauntingly familiar to the Scott Walker days of mining and Foxconn for me.
I'm not sure it's the I think the argument about jobs within the data center, Charlie is right about that to a large degree. But the bigger question of the competition that we're in is one that is what you got to have the data centers. You should just do.
We'll come back to discuss.
If we're going
to
lead on AI.
We'll come back either with the real Trigvy or AI Trigvy, and the real Pat Kreitlow with his secret guest, Jerry Jones, waiting in the wings. That'll be a lot of fun. Come on back. It's the All Ball Show for a Wednesday right here across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you Sally Flores, organizing director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
So, you're okay with undermining the will of the voter? Great. Do you see how terrible that sounds? And when I translate gerrymandering to Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. It's exactly what gerrymandering is, but in Spanish, the wow effect, oh my God, even in the U.S., manipulates election results. And I was like, yes. And they have a fancy word for it. They've covered it up with almost unimaginable words.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Kreitlow, visiting his exes from UW-Eau Claire that now live in Texas. No, not really. He's visiting family in Dallas, Texas. But you can hear, and here's the kind of guy Pat Kreitlow is. Here's how committed he is to his audience. Doesn't matter whether he's sitting on Lake Wissota or whether he's in Dallas. He is there for you. You can hear him every morning from 6 until 9 on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow over the majority of these stations. So tune in.
I'm committed. All right. I am committed that my vacation days be used on beaches. And so the beauty of doing a show at 6 o'clock in the morning is that if I am visiting family, I can still do the show while they're sleeping in. I can get some work done during the first part of the day and then spend the rest of the day with them, like yesterday, touring the stockyards there in Fort Worth, and save those vacation days for like when the whole day is spent going, I wonder if I should have brought the SPF 200 instead of, you know, the SPF 12 that I typically pack and end up being burned. So that's why I get to continue to do the show on the road. It's a very nice thing that the folks at Civic Media, they're very patient with me, and I love them for it.
Well, we love you, Pat. It's great to have you here. Also love Trigvy Olson. He joins us just outside the nation's capital, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Guys, I want to get to this happening this afternoon, according to Scott Bauer, great reporter here at the state capitol in Madison from the Associated Press this afternoon. President Trump this afternoon said the Illinois governor and Chicago mayor, both Democrats, should be jailed as they oppose his deployment of National Guard troops for immigration and crime crackdown in the nation's third largest city. The officials said they would not be deterred. Trump made the comments on a social media post, the latest example of his brazen calls for his opponents to be prosecuted or locked up, a break from longtime norms as the U.S. Justice Department traditionally has strived to maintain its independence from the White House. Trump this afternoon on his so-called Truth Social platform said that Mayor Brandon Johnson and Governor J.B. Pritzker, quote, should be in jail for failing to protect ICE officers, unquote. It was a reference to the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. There's no immediate clarity from the White House on what Trump was objecting to. Pat Kreitlow.
Dear media, dear White House press corps, upon second reference to Trump, you can start at first, Trump calls for so-and-so to be arrested. On second reference, how are you not following it with Trump, a convicted felon who himself would be in prison were it not for gaming the court system and running out the clock, would be in prison orange right now. We have a convicted criminal as president. If you don't note that when he's busy calling for other people to be thrown in prison, as far as I'm concerned, you're doing your job. If not wrong, it's less complete than it could be. Stop sane-washing who this man is when he says such outrageous things.
Trivi Olson, as noted on previous programs, if people are first-time listeners, you spent a goodly part of your career fighting against authoritarianism in Eastern Europe, particularly through the efforts of the late, great U.S. Senator John McCain. You've been on the ground before. You've seen these things up close. And explain to people in just a couple of minutes, if you can, and we can pick it up, you and I, on the other side. But is not this just another example of what authoritarians do?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And talk about ridiculous, right? Like, but this should outrage people. I mean, you would think that people, he wants them arrested, and yet you've got ICE officers shooting priests in the head with pepper balls. I mean, really? Is that what we are? I just wonder how do people. And here's the other thing. I mean, like, I was out in Portland maybe 3 months ago, four uh-huh. months ago. Beautiful city. I didn't, the idea that there's some kind of mass insurrection going on in Portland, Oregon, it's just invented.
Yes.
It's just inventions.
My stepbrother, you know? and his wife, who lived in Portland for over 10 years, I just saw him last week. He was in Shawnee at the same time I was. He said, Todd, this is literally a one block area of some protests. That's it. They had the Portland Marathon last weekend. No problem. This is completely fabricated.
It's a distraction. It's a completely fabricated because, again, that keeps us from talking about the fact that they want to rip away people's health care, which is why the government is shut down. They're looking for any kind of a distraction from still covering up for sexual predator and former Trump friend Jeffrey Epstein. These are all distractions that, again, too many folks in the media entertain without providing the perspective of the distraction and Trump's record and what people are really worried about, which is their health care, which is inflation, which is, you know, the lack of democracy, democratic norms in this country. And instead, we keep playing the Trump entertainment game. Do you know that tomorrow I'm going to have in the history lesson a little note about Spiro Agnew and the anniversary of his resignation, of having to resign in disgrace as Richard Nixon's vice president for tax evasion. And the final straw was when he accepted $10,000 in cash at the White House from kickbacks dating back to when he was Maryland's governor. I say that for a reason. $10,000 for Spiro Agnew. In the White House right now, why are we not talking more about his border czar, Tom Homan, getting $50,000 in cash, having it be recorded, and Pam Bondi's Justice Department mysteriously not following up on these things. So again, media folks, I've now given you several examples of things you could be doing other than really playing up troops going to a city where they're just going to pick up trash for a while and give Trump the photo op distraction that he wants.
You can hear news like that every morning, real news with Pat Kreitlow on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 until 9. Quickly, Pat, only less than a minute left here, but Josh Call decides to run for re-election as AG and not for governor. Mandela Barnes thinking about it. Your reaction?
Josh Call could have waltzed right into the race if he wanted to. It says a lot that he wants to continue to stand up against Trump's authoritarianism as attorney general. Like I said this morning, he is showing a clear difference between a real attorney general versus a theatrical fake like Pam Bondi.
All right, very good. When we come back, Trigvi and I will discuss a little bit more about what's going on militarily and how does that line up what he saw with authoritarians in Eastern Europe and what could it mean for the U.S. in the future, and take a few calls as well. 855-752-4842. Patrick, we'll see you next week, and everybody can see you in the morning. Thank you very much. Yeehaw. Safe travels. Come on back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
If you're a connoisseur of butter, you may be feeling left out of a global trend. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. I'll explain what that's all about next.
Imagine a future where farming fuels the planet. On Thursday, October 9th at 7 p.m., join us at UW-Eau Claire's Davies Student Center Dakota Ballroom for the Imagine Lecture, Innovations in Sustainable Agriculture and Energy. Dr. Lisa Schulte Moore will show us how Midwest farmers are turning prairie grass, food waste, and manure into clean energy, building a circular bioeconomy that strengthens rural communities and protects our land. Free and open to the public, come curious and leave inspired.
Apparently, there is a global trend of consumers looking for pasture-raised butter. That's word from Dr. Greg Brickner. He is a veterinarian and a grazing specialist with the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship. He said this is a market that the United States, to a large extent, is missing out on. Areas like New Zealand seem to be the blueprint moving forward, and he's investigating.
Really, the only place that a grazing dairy farmer can get a premium for their work is through organic and organic grass-fed markets then. And those are difficult markets to get into. They take time to transition into. And even though they have a very high pay price, they have very high input costs as well. So profitability is just as challenging in those. And so we're trying to provide a conventional grass-based market, much like is done in the rest of the world, New Zealand and Ireland.
Dr. Greg Brickner, he is a veterinarian and a grazing specialist with the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship Program. He said if the United States can focus a little bit more effort on pasture-raised butter, the premiums could be there. Last year alone, American consumers bought and consumed an average of 2.7 million pounds of butter each day.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
And did you know this is National 4-H Week? 4-H'ers have been found to be twice as likely to have the goal of being a leader, three times more likely to participate in community service, and twice as likely to report living life with intentionality and purpose. Find out more at the number 4-H.org. There's your food news for Wednesday. I'm Pam Yonke. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine and cool temperatures for your Wednesday afternoon. Southerly winds and highs in the upper 50s. Tonight we'll see clear skies across the area. It will be frosty once again. Light winds and lows in the low to mid 30s. Right now it's 55.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
At what point are we as a society going to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here? This is just the latest attack on women, on trying to control our bodies. They want women to have more babies. They don't want us to have birth control. They don't want us to get abortions. They don't want us to take medications. They want us to be in pain. They don't want us to have hospitals to be able to go to. They're defunding all of our rural hospitals.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Congressman Mark Pocan of the 2nd Congressional District about the town halls he's doing in the 3rd Congressional District, all about the government shutdown.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
The Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock on a Wednesday, October 8th, 2025. Glad to have you along. Dave, listening in New Berlin on the Civic Media text line. Remember, you can text us by simply downloading the Civic Media app for free at your Apple or Android device. It's free, takes less than a minute. It's what CBS's Gail King calls a deal. Dave in New Berlin says, I found Richland Center on a map. That's been to my hometown. Thank you. And he sends along his congratulations for the recognition got last week at home of the UW Richland Alumni Board. So that was very nice. Thanks a lot. Thanks for listening, Dave. Always appreciate you having you along. And we always appreciate having our friend Trigvi Olson along as well. Native of River Falls, Wisconsin, former Republican like myself, and now a senior advisor with the Lincoln Project. Talking a little bit more about this story this afternoon, Associated Press, other places have it as well. Donald Trump on his Truth Social platform saying this about the Illinois governor and mayor of Chicago, quote, they should be in jail for failing to protect ICE officers. Unquote, calling for the jailing of duly elected officials that apparently there's no evidence they've done anything worth being in jail for. Trigvi, I just want to pick up on this. Well, let's first go to the phone calls and we'll talk a little bit more. 855-752-4842. Mark in Pertisac. Mark, what do you want to say?
Yeah, well, I heard Trigvi's frustration there when I was on hold. Mm-hmm. And I agree that, but I've got my FCC filter in place. But for Ron Johnson to be whining about, and other Republicans whining about being investigated over the January 6th insurrection plot that they were involved in via the fake electors conspiracy, that, you know, if you don't commit the crime, don't complain about the fact when you actually get investigated for it, because each and every one of those guys, they conspired against the citizens of the United States and the Constitution of the United States and the 14th Amendment because they did not want to recognize our votes for President of the United States in that election. They conspired against us in a continuing conspiracy. To my understanding, that started out long before the election even occurred. They had plans in place to try to overturn this election, that election.
Yeah.
And for them to be whining about that now is just beyond me. It is just, people are going to probably get fired for investigating these guys. They committed a crime, pure and simple. They haven't been, that too many of them were not charged for it, but they committed a violation of their oath to the Constitution.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. I that was my fault. I need new glasses, Trigvi. That's the point here, because I saw Zomers put on there that was a different topic. So, but that's fine. That's fine. It's always a potpourri. Trigvi doesn't mind jumping around. Any comment? I'm not sure if you saw that out in D.C., Trigvi, but Ron Johnson whining this week because, he was at the FBI. Guess what? Was looking at him because he was a part of trying to essentially a part
they
of trying to overturn the election.
I saw it. They weren't really looking at it. They weren't tapping these guys' phones. They went after the fact to try and see who Trump and was. They knew he was calling U.S. senators, and they pulled for all kinds of people. They pulled data of who people were calling. That's not tapping someone's phones.
Well, no.
It's not tapping. His phone wasn't tapped. So it's really and Ron Johnson knows that. I mean, he's just he's being disingenuous. He's a lot. I mean, he and Little Johnson have a lot in common.
Mike Johnson. Little Johnson.
Yeah, Mike Johnson.
Well, let's get back to that. Because I think this is real. Your perspective means a lot to me because you're someone you've written. I keep telling Trevi you should write a book. The Seven Rules of Dealing with an Authoritarian, because you've done this and you've gone up against authoritarians in Eastern Europe. And the question I asked you off the air, I'm going to ask and let you answer it on the air, is this just over the top reaction from talk show hosts like me and other people? And I want to be very, very careful, but in Germany, in Nazi Germany, one of the key moments of the Nazi movement is when they burned down the Reichstag, which is essentially their capital, their Congress, and it gave the Nazis and Hitler an opportunity to say, see, look how terrible things are. We have to take control of the country and the government and suspend the rule of law. I'm not crossing the Rubicon and calling Trump, you know, Hitler or MAGA Nazis, but is with this militarization in major cities by Trump, him calling in all the generals and the flag officers, over 800 last week, he and Hegseth gave those ridiculous speeches. And now with what he's saying today, Trump, that the governor of Illinois and mayor of Chicago should be jailed, it feels like to me, Trigvi, that MAGA and Trump in particular, those around him closest, are looking for a Reichstag moment to say, see how bad things are, and give them an opportunity to invoke the Insurrection Act. Is that over the top?
No, I don't think it's over the top. I mean, I said on a podcast 2 years ago that was kind of where I thought, you know, that's what these guys do. You know, they create the chaos and then they use the chaos as pretense. And in terms of, you know, and there's an element of it that's ridiculous. I mean, Kristi Noem standing in Portland on a rooftop looking out at the carnage. And basically it's a guy dressed as a unicorn and another one in a bear suit. Like, that, seriously, like, whatever. But it isn't really about that. It's about, are they going to get people to sit in silence and go along with it? And people who could do something about it. And to date, you know, there have been judges standing up to him. I think, you know, what I found really troubling is a judge in South Carolina who had ruled against him had her house burned down. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. These kinds of things are really bad omens. And we're not, the United States of America is not Nazi Germany in the 1930s. But the autocratic tactics that Donald Trump is using are a tried and true playbook of what autocrats do. And, you know, I talk about it a fair amount. It's all these guys are the same guy. Like, I really think autocratic personality disorder is something that needs to be defined, and because they all have the same paranoia. And what you have to understand is what's dangerous about him is they have all these enablers around him, and they have some true loyalists, and those true loyalists are going to go to any ends to try and please the leader and to maintain power, because giving up power means, you know, having to reconcile actions, and they clearly don't want that.
Tony watching on YouTube says, but won't they just manufacture a quote-unquote incident, whether it actually happens or not? They don't live in reality. Thank you, Tony. To that point,
yeah,
Trigvi,
100%.
You're somebody who gets AI pretty well, and I think that's one of the fears of a lot of folks out there, is that, and we're seeing this in entertainment this week, the Motion Pictures Association is coming out because they've now created an AI actress that's so realistic that you cannot tell whether it's a live human being or not. And I think that's a real concern of folks, that just watching what's on your phone or on television, we've gotten to the point now where you don't really know what's real and what's not.
Yeah, well, I mean, that predates AI, Todd. People have been struggling with You know, they know there are things that are not true. But when you reach a point where people are uncertain what is true, then they farm out their truths to leaders or people. And, you know, even if they intuitively think that it maybe isn't true. I will say this. I mean, I think, you know, this is not going to be solved. It's the kind of thing with these kinds of things that are happening, that it, what it really is going to require and where it's going to be solved is around kitchen dinner tables and in bars with people having a few drinks, and really, how do you get people to reach the cognitive dissonance of those who are supportive, even tacitly, of it, to recognize that they're advocating for things through their political choices that are antithetical to who they are as people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I couldn't agree with you more. I was hanging out with a mutual friend of ours last night, and she was telling me that now there's a service where you can hire someone, a human being, to take a walk with you. That there is finally starting to be a little bit of a backlash to the AI media world, where people actually want real relationships. It's like, wait, how do I do this? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to beautiful Spooner, Wisconsin, where we find Paul listening up in Spooner.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Thanks, Paul. What do you got?
Well, I look at the way the president has thrown out his rhetoric, and it comes back to one thing, and I believe that he's trying to create so much chaos in this country. He's trying so hard to find a war that he can get himself into. He needs a war. The last three Republican presidents all started wars. Ronald Reagan was reelected after he started his war. The country came behind him, stood around him. He even went into Grenada because he wanted a war so bad. Then he got Bush 1. He created a war. He was able to get himself reelected. Bush 2, he created a war, but it only lasted 2 days.
George H.W. Bush didn't create a war. Iraq invaded Kuwait. George H.W. Bush didn't start a war. Iraq invaded Kuwait, and we went in because they believe. I was working in the Congress at the time. There was a real fear they were going to go into Saudi Arabia and take out the oil fields. So to say that George H.W. Bush started a war is just, he did go to war with broad bipartisan support because Tom Foley and the entire Congress.
Wasn't that part of the whole thing of the lie about the weapons that didn't exist?
That was the second war in Iraq.
Okay, I'm sorry.
George H.W. Bush went into Iraq with bipartisan
international support.
That was Colin Powell and Norman Schwarzkopf war.
Go ahead, Paul, quickly.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry.
What I'm trying to get to is, I think the division in the country is going to get so bad that Donald Trump is looking for a reason to call off the election. That's my thought. And I think that the beginning of this whole thing was, I'm going to go back to the Bundy issue when Bundy did the call to arms and everybody raced across the country and laid down on the freeway overpasses with their rifles as a show of force. I believe that we are going to that right now, and Donald Trump has about 1,500 people that were insurrectionists at one time that were rewarded for that type of behavior and are more than willing to look forward to doing it again. So
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate your listenership and Spooner. Trigvi, 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, Paul's onto, and this is not a Republican-Democrat thing. There is nothing more dangerous in terms of conflict, military conflict, than aging autocrats. You're seeing it with Vladimir Putin. You saw it with Saddam Hussein. You see it all the time. And it is a danger with Donald Trump. 100%. He is right about that.
We'll come back more to Trigvi Olsen on the other side. Can the Packers get back on the schneid? Get off the schneid and get on a win this week. We'll ask the owner, Trigvi Olsen, after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway. And from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping. When they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers trying to get back on the winning streak against the Bengals. A new quarterback, the Flockster, is in the crowd, who has beaten the Packers before. You can see it all. Not on Monday Night Football, but on Sunday Afternoon Football.
Right. It's now all messed up because the Badgers moved the game and I have somebody flying in.
Trigvy is very upset about the Badgers going to a 6 p.m. game on Saturday because he has tickets to both. You understand? This is how Trigvy Olsen rolls. He's got tickets to the Badgers on Saturday and to the Packers on Sunday afternoon. He has places to go.
I know, and my daughter desperately want them to go to Camp Randall.
Do they jump around? I know.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that you took the prompt, Todd, because I was going to do a whole Howard Cosell.
All right. Well, you didn't tell me that.
It's Wednesday afternoon.
Give her the Todd Allball show.
Todd is distracted. As is all of the great state of Wisconsin, because the Brewers, who have never won a world title like the Minnesota Twins, will be playing tonight in another effort that will probably end in futility.
Don't say that. It's this afternoon, by the way, as well.
See, he's a Twins fan. All right, knock it off. I gave you a chance. The Brewers at Chicago.
You just had Rockin' Robin Yount and Stormin' Gorman Thomas.
David Mount Horeb says a very respectable Howard Cosell.
Or David New Berlin.
Let's go quickly to Troy.
I do lots of impersonations.
Troy Mount Horeb. Troy, what do you got for us?
Hey, Trigby, if you're going to the game, I'll buy you a beer.
Look at that.
All right.
Which one?
Except I got to drive. Which one?
The Packer game. I'm sorry.
Troy's the Packer game. Yeah, all right. Yeah, for sure. I have a friend.
Where are you driving up there from?
Madison. My daughter's going to look at the UW, and there was no way she could go look at the UW and not go to, do the jump around. And so we were going to do both, but we have a friend who's literally flying in to Green Bay on Saturday, and we're supposed to meet him. So I don't know.
In Green Bay on Saturday.
I might have to tell him that he's flying on his own plane, so he should probably just land in Madison. In fact, the problem is I'm going to have to come up with an extra ticket or somebody's going to have to get the boot.
See, now here it goes. Here it is. Either Zobbers
are going to have to play paper, rock, and scissors to see who gets into the game.
But you see, Troy, this is the difference between my life and Trigby's life. Trigby has friends that fly in on their own private jet.
Yeah, I don't know anybody flying a private jet
I don't either.
The good news is it will make my getting from Madison and my daughters from Madison to Green Bay pretty easy.
Yes.
Even easier than me. I was going to say, if you were leaving from Madison to go to Green Bay, I know a secret way that there's no traffic on.
Well, maybe Trigby can get you a seat on the jet, Troy.
don't say it on the air.
No.
Thanks.
God, no.
All right. Thank you, Troy. I appreciate it. Have a good day out there at Mount Horeb. All right, Zomers. I think one of us may not be going to the game.
We'll figure it out.
I will figure it out.
All right. Trigby, Packers get underway on Sunday. 3:25 kickoff at Lambeau Field. Boy, that was a tough game a couple weeks ago down in Dallas. Are they going to be able to get off the Chennai?
Yeah, of course. I think so.
All right.
They're not the Wisconsin Badgers.
I was going to tell you, you could actually leave after jump around at the end of the third quarter because the game will probably be done by then for all intents and purposes.
It might be. Yeah. Do you know whose kid plays for Iowa?
Who?
Mike Johnson.
Like Speaker Mike Johnson?
No, like Mike Johnson up in
Oakland. Oh, your friend up in
Oakland. Superintendent.
I did not know that. I guess I kind of did, but I forgot.
Freshman tight end at Iowa.
Well, is Mike coming to the game?
Really good. I don't know. I need to text him. But everything's all screwed up with me in the game now.
I know. It's tough, Trigby. It's tough being Trigby Olsen, right?
It isn't easy. I know what's going to happen. We're going to jump around.
We're going to jump around.
I'll drive through the middle of the night. That's
So before we let you go here, any news on your neck of the woods out there in D.C.? How long is this shutdown going to go for? And now Trump using it as a bargaining chip, in my opinion, saying that they're not going to pay some of these federal workers for back pay, as has always happened in the past. This is just a mess.
It is a mess. I will say this. The one thing that there's a lot of rumors going around that what they're afraid of and little Johnson is afraid of is that when they hold the vote on Epstein, that there might be upwards of 100 Republicans who break.
Wow. Really?
With them. Yeah.
So this is real. Because I'm wondering as I look at my feeds and my social media, because I'm seeing this morning the same thing you're seeing, that a lot of people are nervous. A lot of MAGA folks are nervous because this is going to be a real thing once they swear in this new Democratic representative from Arizona, which Mike Johnson has been dragging out for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, out here it started, the the rumblings. I saw that it's worked its way to social media, but that started circling maybe Monday, Sunday, wow. Monday.
So it's real.
So there is, yeah, I think, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on that.
Fascinating.
You know, and I do think there are members that are getting concerned about the look of the National Guard.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Not getting paid while being deployed. It's an all-star cast. You don't have to wait to Monday night. You can hear him every Wednesday. Trigvi Olsen of the Lincoln Project. Thank you very much, my friend. We'll see you Saturday, I think. And you'll be here.
You'll see me Friday on the air.
That's right.
I'll be on Friday.
All right, we'll see you then.
All right, see ya.
Back for hour two after this.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The government shutdown now in week two, showing no signs of ending anytime soon. Democrats and Republicans still at odds over restoring Medicaid benefits slashed in the GOP megabill, along with extending tax credits from the Affordable Care Act. ABC's Sam Sweeney says air traffic control towers and facilities seeing the staffing impacts with furloughed workers on the job without pay. Now calling in sick.
And it's not just the towers at the individual airports. It's also the air traffic control centers that are, you know, in office buildings where there are dozens, sometimes hundreds of controllers who work the skies from one facility but control planes over several different states.
Authorities in Louisiana and the U.S. Marshals Service, along with the FBI, announcing they've arrested the final and 10th prison escapee from the Orleans Paris prison back in May. Louisiana State Police say 28-year-old Derek Groves was taken into custody in Atlanta, Georgia, after a brief standoff. On Wall Street, stocks are up this hour. This is ABC News.